Sir, the Chandlers, everyone individually and collectively, their income tax, they're starting this week. Every one of those sons of bitches.
Rosenberg, I have no problem with this Farrell situation.
All right.
I want to...
Well, I'll leave it to you. I'll leave it to you. But I want you to scare him within an inch of his life.
Don't worry about that.
Okay, John.
Will do.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I have Dr. Burns calling, and Mr. Bill Sapphire wanted to mention that he has talked to him first, and it is good news.
All right,
fine.
Thanks.
President.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hi, Arthur.
Good morning, Mr.
You were in New York yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I wondered if Bill has talked to you yet.
Yes, he has.
Great.
And I've made a few minor changes in language.
I wanted you to check the language.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Mr. President, just a couple of things. Number one, I think it's wonderful that you've been able to reach a decision on phase two so quickly. I think the faster you get this out, the better, and I'm delighted. And I think you're going in a very sound way.
As you know, they did bend to your wishes on the setting the target of 2 to 3.
Yeah, so, I think that will help.
Now I will. I'm not putting that in my remarks because it's too if I say 2 to 3 people, it's too confusing.
Yeah.
But it's to be hit. Connolly will hit it tomorrow, and of course, McCracken will hit it today in the briefing.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's very good.
Now let me ask you this: the one thing I was concerned about tonight, and I want to get you, Jimmy. I wonder, the interest side of this, but on the dividend side, is that a proper thing for the Fed to do? Did that worry you?
Well, they...
I'd prefer to have you do it, you understand.
Yeah.
Well, you understand, but if it worries you, it's pure jawboning, but it might work.
What I thought in the actual operation, I could turn that over pretty much to Maury Stantz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The practical question is...
The main thing, though, is if you can have the Burns Committee, it's going to be much stronger medicine, Arthur, than to have the Stantz Committee or the Romney Committee. See, that's our choice on interest.
Yes.
And we just can't have that.
Yes.
And that's why I told, when we met on this, and when you're in New York, I said, Burns was considering, and I said, the difficulty with the other names is that they're not going to have any impact, and part of this is the moral impact.
Well, it's a little troublesome, but Mr. President, we live in difficult times.
Sure.
I'm willing to assume a little trouble.
I see you've changed as Bill just walked in. As a safeguard, I will. That's good. I don't want to give the indication that we're going to step in with a lot of laws right away.
Oh, I'm so glad.
As a safeguard, I will ask the Congress. Now, that doesn't bother you.
No.
For standby controls over interest rates.
Mr. President, I don't think you have much of a choice. If you don't say it...
Oh, well, you heard those people in those meetings.
The Congress will. Congressman will propose it.
Patman will.
Yeah, sure. Others will, too.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, even John McClellan came in to see me, Arthur. Very conservative, and he's running this year. Yeah. He says, you got to do something about interest.
Yeah, that's it.
And I said, you give him the gobbledygook, but we're doing something. But, that people don't think so. So let's say it and then hope to God to go down.
I know it.
Yeah.
Well, I met with bankers yesterday, New York bankers, and I told them that we probably will have to go that way, but we'll try to keep this on a voluntary basis, and a lot will depend on them.
Right. And also, they'll trust you, but on the other hand, Arthur, if you get on the phone and call somebody, it's going to have more impact than anybody else in this country. So you just do it, okay?
Well, I'm going to help as much as I can.
Good.
This is terribly important.
I appreciate it. And I'm going to slug it to them on the high level tonight, and you do it in the low level, But if you need to, kick them in the groin.
Mr. President, I haven't read your speech. I hope the rhetoric is strong.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's very strong. Probably too strong, but it's strong.
Yeah, fine.
It says we're going to continue. Rather than that, I'm not calling it a new program. I'm calling it a continuation of the old.
Well, now that's the right.
See, and now basically it is new. But I say we are going to continue the program of wages treasury. That was the key thing that I thought had to be in there. So I remember you recommended that, and I put that in.
Yeah, right.
But I've got some lines in there you like.
Well, wonderful.
That's right.
If we're getting a little. Some good economic news.
Yeah, the wholesale prices was good.
Price index. Have you seen the unemployment figure?
I understand a little down.
No, just a little, not enough, but...
Well, at least it didn't go up.
Yeah, right.
Right.
All right, Mr.
Fine.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
It's please?
Could you get me Mrs. Nixon, please?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mrs. Nixon?
Hi, Dick.
Hello. I was just being sure that our schedules were on, or we're together. On that 16th, is that the day of the Helen Thomas thing?
Yeah.
I think the better thing is there because of the fact that it might get me into going to other receptions. I think basically that, you know, Trisha's coming, and that maybe you ought to go since you're not going to give her a shower if you're willing to go. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I should go since you really have sort of already blessed the darn thing, you know what I mean, in the White House. In other words, I've done this, and then if I just go to the reception, my problem is that I don't want to be too close to that many newsmen and so forth on a social basis, too, you know, on that mm-hmm. thing. Now, does that sound all right to you?
Sure.
So you go, Trisha goes, and Julie will go, see, but that I will not go.
I'm not just sure Julie's going to be here. I don't think she isn't going to be here.
She isn't going to be here.
No.
But just you and Trisha, but that's a tremendous thing for them.
Well, maybe.
And they feel totally, I can assure you, Helen Thomas and Doug Cornell feel we've really done it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got an enormous play, and we've been there, and I don't really think that you need to give one thought to going. Mm-hmm. I really don't think you need to.
Well, I can go to, there's something for her every day
yeah.
and night, and I can maybe go to one of the others.
You might just slip in on one.
Yeah, like Helen Smith's giving one.
If Helen Smith is giving one, I really think that, who? Yeah, well, somebody that's a very good friend that you'd like to do for somebody else, if you could just pop in, you know, and say hello, and just want to bless this thing, and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we ought to avoid the wedding reception, you know. I just think we've got, well, it's a lot of things. It's staff people get married, press people get married, congressmen get married,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know.
And then I just want to avoid the darn things if I can.
Okay.
So if we could do that, then...
I'll go to one of the others and let Trish and Eddie go to that
Let Trish and Eddie do that one. Great.
Okay?
All right, fine.
We're not going to go anywhere that weekend. We're going to Charlotte and coming
Charlotte, home. And then we're going up. We're going to Charlotte, come back, and then go to Camp David.
And then we'll get back in time for service.
Yeah, and we come back at 10 o'clock, you know. That works very easily. Get back by 10:30 and gives us an hour. Okay?
Okay.
Fine.
And listen, Dick, I think that we should shake hands. We don't have...
All right, we'll shake hands.
And there won't be as many this time.
Yeah.
And
I never mind it.
Now, because we're not having that many services.
I never mind it.
And
on the other hand,
Lucy's going to
call
cabinet and people like that, ask them to go to other rooms and not go through the line.
Yeah, well, except they got their relatives.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I wouldn't bother them with that. Shaking hands with the cabinet's no problem. Let them come through. That's sometimes the only time I see them. But the point is, let's just shake hands, but we'll just have you, me, and the minister. Nobody.
Right.
Not the minister's wife.
Right.
Hell, nobody wants to meet his wife anyway.
No.
He probably doesn't want to meet her.
No. See, the other time it was so long because Billy Graham was there.
I know.
But he was talking
to
him.
I know.
It was just too
It works, right? And I don't mind it. I mean, if it means
a
lot.
Well, it seems to mean so much, and we kind of established it. And the
All right.
minute you don't do it, then
That's
scream
right.
and holler.
That's right. We'll do it that
and
way.
And we don't have that many, so
right.
Good.
Good. All right. Fine. Bye. And then tonight, incidentally, I will not be over there till about 7:45. So I'm not going to eat till then.
Yeah.
If you want to wait, fine. But you can go ahead. But I have to do the broadcast at 7:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Good.
Sapphire, please.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Yes, President Bill Sapphire.
Yeah. How's, are we coming?
They're just proofreading it right now.
I see.
And taking it over to you.
But they're ready. Okay, fine.
Right.
I just want to be sure they get it over before too long.
They know you're waiting for
it. Fine. Thank you.
Right.
please.
Sapphire, please.
Thank you.
Hello.
Bill Sapphire.
Leave out of the text that is given to the press the letters and that section in the letters.
Okay.
It's far more effective for me to just do it as if I just thought of it at the last minute and inserted it. See?
Got it. Right.
And then have the letters available. So you just say that I added it. It'll cut down what they have to print, and then the letters will get out as a sidebar story.
Right.
See?
All right. I'll make sure that Ron has the letters photostated and ready.
Fine.
Now, one other thing, George Shultz called and said after that Productivity Commission meeting with Meany, that Meany said that you can expect me to cooperate fully. And George thought maybe we'd want to have a line in the speech saying that he's been assured, that you've been assured by leaders of, you know, these groups that they'll cooperate fully. Might be a thought, or else that's something that they'll be turned to for a reaction right away anyway.
I'd rather not say it and then have them piss on it. Let's let them say it.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
See what I mean?
I understand.
Let them say it. Okay.
Right.
Please?
Sapphire, please.
Thank you.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
This may be a typo, but where we talk about, it says we launch this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning it. It should be launched.
Right. That is a typo.
Yeah. We launched. Incidentally, is there a better word? We started this battle, or do you think people understand launched?
I like launched. It's, you know, like getting off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess people understand it with all the business of satellites and so forth. All right. We launched this battle against inflation.
Is it hard to say?
We launched. Oh, I can say it. We launched this battle. It isn't the best word, but
began, of course, is a.
We began this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning it, and we're going to stay in it until we do win it. What do you think about began?
Well,
launched is better, isn't it?
Launched is a more vivid word.
Yeah.
Began has a nice alliteration with battle.
Yeah. We began this battle against inflation.
I just worry about tripping over launched, because in the...
We launched this battle, what?
I say in the past sense with the ED on the end, it's a hard word to pronounce.
We launched this battle, yeah. We launched this battle, yeah, the D with the this.
Call it began, I think. We began this battle.
I think let's make it began.
Right.
I think you got a point there. Just we. That's pretty good too. We began this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning it, and we're going to stay in it until we do win it. Okay.
That's a powerful line.
Yeah. Good.
I'll tell you.
Please.
Sapphire, please.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Sapphire, sir.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yes, sir.
I have one thought that may be just a little bit of a problem. Where we say what we will and will not do, the third point, we will continue price and wage restraints until inflationary pressures ease up, but we will not make controls a permanent feature of life. I think somebody could seize on the ease up as being our, I think we better say our brought under control. Or something. You get my point?
Are curbed.
Until inflationary pressures are curbed.
Pressures are dampened. Pressures are
no, not dampened.
Ease
up is too soft. They'll say, well, they're going to give up too. Huh?
We can't really say in that context inflation has stopped.
No. I know that.
Yeah.
I know why you say ease up. But until inflationary pressures, I think, really are brought under control is what it is, isn't it?
Well, wait a minute. I'm using my old reaction about the word control.
Yeah.
It's no longer valid.
But we've got it in here, but we will not make controls a permanent feature of American life. You're using control.
Perfect. Then, then it's very good. Then it's a nice play. We brought up the control, but we're not making control as a perfect thing.
Yeah. Hold it a minute. Life. Now, I'm going to add something there on an ad lib basis, not in the text, even though it will sort of destroy your nice little balances you have here. I'm going to say, but we will not make controls a permanent feature of American life. When they are no longer needed, we will get rid of them. I think that needs to be said for reasons that are very, very fundamental because of my own convictions.
Right, and I think the idea of you're looking up and adding
when
it in
this gives it punch. When they are no longer needed, we will get rid of them. And I just think it's good to say it. And the way, if we raise it this way, we will continue pricing wages trains until, because we said earlier, we're going to stay in this battle till we win it.
Right.
Now, that's very strong. But I want to also say, when they are no longer needed, we will get rid of it. Because the hardest thing we're going to have, Bill, is get rid of these goddamn things.
Right.
And also, there will come a time, it might even come before the election, when we're going to have to get rid of a lot of it. On the ground that, you know, rent controls could be stopping housing, and some things could be stopping this, and business should be cool, and it's breaking down, and so forth. When they're no longer needed, we'll get rid of them.
Instead of when, you want to say as soon as?
Well, yeah, I could say that. Fine, something like that. I'll try to feel
whatever, whatever comes natural, right?
Yeah, yeah, fine, fine.
Okay, I'll be standing by.
Yeah, yeah, all right, let me see. Okay. Let's see. All right, fine. Thanks, Bill.
Yes, please.
Mr. No, cancel this.
Yes, sir. Yes, please.
Acker, please.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Ms. Acker, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Marge.
Yes.
Would you want to come over and bring your copy? I've got a few inserts on my, I mean, just
right.
Changes for reading that I'd
sure.
like to put on,
okay.
Have you type over.
All righty. Okay.
Just 1 minute.
Please.
Sapphire, please.
Yes, sir.
When you get half of it done, send it over and I can start reading it.
Mr. Sapphire.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Just a minute, Rose. Just a minute, Marge. Yeah. I think I should put in, and I'm not going to put it in the written text, I'm going to say it, but where we say, because it puts more balance into it, where we say that we live in an inflation psychology. Everybody just assumes that prices will go up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for some price reduction psychology. When there are windfall prices, profits, prices should come down. That doesn't bother you, does it?
Well, that's a nice quotable line for somebody to use as ammunition.
Ammunition on windfall?
Yeah, in other words, any good profits at all, you know, we'll be called windfall by whatever attacking it. And,
trouble is labor will get them, Gamut, if we don't get it in prices. Well, it may be, maybe. I'm afraid the whole thing is subject to that, though. But, well, maybe that just gives them one thing that they can't.
I hate to give them a little short quotable line they can use as a slogan.
And we've got it in there, of course, that prices should come down, the policy, the price can... But what the hell? Maybe we better not put it as sharply. Okay.
Well, I would think a fuzzier presentation.
All right.
Is better.
Fine.
Mr. President.
Yeah.
Mr. Sapphire.
All right.
What?
Yeah.
Mr. President, I have a couple of minor changes that might be helpful.
All right.
On page 2, where you say 3.5 years, that's now 7 years.
Just a second. Page 2.
Are you reading, Cup?
Yeah. Wholesale prices in September posted the what?
Biggest, then the price of industrial commodities has declined for the first time, will you say, in 3.5 years?
Yeah.
It's in 7 years.
All right.
We're able to get that because seasonally adjusted, it's 7 years.
Yeah.
But you don't have to say seasonally adjusted.
Oh, I don't need to say that.
No. Page 9.
Just a second. Yeah.
On page 9, at the very end, business should pass along a fair share of its cost savings to the consumer. I think it'd make the point a lot firmer if you add in the form of lower prices.
By cutting prices. Is that better?
By cutting prices. I seem direct to you.
Yeah. Where are we? Page...
Page 9, the very end of the page.
Well, I must be looking at... Do you have what, my copy or another?
I think it's your copy.
Well, no, I have a different situation because I changed a few things. I mean, I've broken up the pages.
Well, this is
all right, I'll find it in a minute. This is on the...
right at the window.
On the profit thing.
Right. Right after you say windfall profits or another matter.
Yeah. The business should pass along a fair share of its cost savings to the consumer.
By cutting prices.
By cutting prices. I think by cutting prices is better than, say, in the form of lower prices. Don't you think so?
By cutting is tougher, right. But somehow, when I read it again...
Hold. Yeah.
I think folks understand cutting prices.
By cutting prices.
Okay, that's all I have.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want me to do, or check?
No, I think I've got everything I need. Where just going over the final pages now to get some up in my head.
Okay, I'll be here if you...
I think it reads fine.
Just holler if you need me.
15 minutes. It's going to take 15 minutes, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1,780 words, isn't it? Maybe 19.
Yes, I had 1,750 last year.
Well, it's fine. It's not too long. It's too long. Although some of it take a little longer because, you know, those letters and things, I don't want to rush them. You've got to let people sort of sink in on
right.
those.
15 minutes, pretty short speech for a major speech.
Anything over 2 minutes is too long. People get so bored.
But if you go past 2 minutes, then I think people are ready for a meat and potatoes meal, you know, on your speech.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think we've got a good thing here. We just don't know how people are going to take the business community. They've been squealing for all this thing. When they see a little of it hurting them on the profit thing, they're likely to go right up the goddamn wall and the interest and so forth. But that's fine. I mean, if this is going to work, you've got to let it apply to everybody.
And everybody's got to, if everybody screams equally, then it'll
that's
play
right.
well.
That's right. Except the business guys take it out to you by their market and so forth. But I don't care. I think we're doing the right thing.
I don't think this is going to hurt the market.
Well, if it does, it does. I don't care because it's only temporary. What's going to count in the market is what happens. And if the inflation is down and jobs go up gradually, the market's going to go up. That's what's going to happen. You know, the market is basically, as George Shultz says, neurotic.
Okay, I'm here if you need me.
Thank you.
Right, sir.
Please.
Mr. McGregor, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Mr. McGregor, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
Well, congratulations. You won another one.
Well, we won by a bigger margin than we...
You have won two this week, Clark, and without any assistance from me, I know.
Oh, that isn't true, sir.
Well, a statement or two, but my point is that the whole team did it, and I want you to know that that's the kind I appreciate, where I just very quietly you go about the job and just knock their pins off.
Well, thank you, sir. It was a sweet one, I tell you.
Yeah.
And you're correct in saying that it was a good case of teamwork. Gene Cowan and Tom Corlogus and Bill Timmons and I, and we had help, departmental help as well. And
right.
We just... Well, I talked to Dick Schweiker as late as 10 minutes to 12 last night, and we got Dick to go with us, and that...
That's unusual.
No.
don't tell me anymore.
No. Well, we had...
Nice fellow, but he does never is with us.
Oh, we had 45 solid votes when we went to bed last night at midnight, and we went to work again this morning, and it crept up to 46, 47, 48, and then when it appeared you were going to win, then, of course, our margin swelled.
But you know, that's good for the country. And
A wonderful, Mr.
My
President.
Speech tonight, of course, will be...
Sets it up just beautiful.
I mean, you know, the consumer, I mean, the wholesale price index, you probably heard those figures.
Yes, yeah,
they're really sensational. I mean, well, not that we got to brag when they're good, and they're bad, we won't, but that's good. These votes are good. The House passing the tax bill yesterday was good. I'm going to see Russell in the morning.
Yes, I got the word yesterday.
They don't want Wally with him, do they? Just want him alone?
They want, I think, just John Connolly there, and you and Russell, Mr. President, preparing a briefing paper for you. And
that's probably better. Russell likes to, you know, shake his...
Yeah, I think so.
Purse.
And I thought you might want to take a look at some of the things Russell said yesterday in commenting on the House bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you the benefit of that if you want to look at it in a tab. But
I think it's very important that Connolly get that too.
Oh yes, oh yes.
He know, because I'm not knowledgeable enough on some of these things, and Connolly can pick up the hod and hit him over the head a bit.
Well, Russell's big. Russell will tell you in the morning. Oh, Mr. President, still too much trickle down theory in that House passed bill, and we just got to do more for the poor little man and less for big business.
Yeah.
And we've got to try and hold him just as close as we can to the House passed bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got to move him fast. But he's indicated he would move fast.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can...
Well, I'm putting a little note in the speech tonight that I'm asking the Senate to act as promptly as the House did. And I think I may just ad-lib that I'm having breakfast with... I'm meeting tomorrow with Chairman Russell Long of the Senate Finance Committee to pursue this objective.
Oh, boy, that'll...
how you like that? You won't have Wilbur Mills on the telephone. Do you think it might help?
I think it'd be a great touch. Sure, I think it'd be great. I'll call Wallace Bennett and tell him that you may make some mention.
Yeah.
So
tell Wally.
He knows that you're meeting with him.
Tell Wally that he's recommended it, that I may make this mention just to put him on the spot.
I'll do that. I'll call him right away.
And then naturally Wally will be there when we have our own leaders meeting.
Sure. Well, it was a sweet one, Mr. President.
Especially. Then this afternoon we meet with these people. I'm not going to stay, I'll stay 15 minutes and give them a little highlight, and then I've got to trickle out and get... few thoughts that Bill pulled together for tonight.
I'm sure you do, and I'm sorry I will not be there. I'm on my way to Indianapolis for Midwest Republican Conference. They want me to speak about your legislative program tonight.
Yeah.
But I'll arrive in time to hear you on television, and then I'll be able to tell the troops like it is and fire them up a little bit. Bob Dole and I are the program.
Right. Well, you can really tell them that...
He's handling the politics, I'm handling the legislation.
Yeah, basically the whole point that when we really, you know, when you really come down to it, this Congress has ought to get off its butt and do something.
Yep.
I mean, sure, they go after this economic thing, but revenue sharing, everybody's for revenue sharing. Now, goddamn it, pass it. Welfare reform, they ought to do something about it. I mean, there go rather light. You know what, Indiana ain't much for it.
Yep.
But you could say we ought to, let's do something about welfare reform.
That's right, not let it sit.
If they want to leave it as it is, if they have something better, let's come up with it.
Yep.
And then... But then all these other things, programs in the environment and health program and education reform, and that this is the greatest period of reform in the history of government, reorganization.
And as I say over and over again, our system works best when the president proposes, the Congress promptly disposes. You proposed, they're lagging on the disposal side.
Right. I'll give them my best. You can finding out that I'm always happy to send my best to my mother's state, and that Indiana is of the industrial states, you can point that Indiana is the best state for Nixon in the country of the big industrial states. Call them a big industrial state.
I will.
The president said Indiana gives us the biggest has given the president in 60 and again in 68 the biggest margins of all
of any industrial state
in the major industrial states.
Major industrial state. Right. I will, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
And, I'll arrive in time to watch you. I know you'll do a great job.
Yeah. Well, it'll be short. Get the hell out of there. All right, boy.
Thank you for your call. I'll pass along to all the troops.
Please.
Colson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Hello.
Mr. Colson.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Well, they sure did well in the Senate, didn't they?
By golly,
I just called McGregor.
I think that was superb.
McGregor's done a fantastic job.
Well, he has. I'll tell you, right down to the wire, that was not all that clear, boy, that turned beautifully.
He did.
We actually had another one in our pocket. Glenn Bell, I talked to this morning, and he said if I'm the deciding vote, I'll cast it with the president, but I got
he's got a lot of government
150,000 government workers over there.
I know.
Well, so it's a great shot in the arm. It's part of the...
I'm going to quote from a couple of letters from government workers tonight supporting the wage freeze, incidentally. I just thought that'd be a nice needle.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I think a hell of a lot of them do.
They do. Sure.
I think they realize that...
I think a lot of this stuff, believe me, is the unions again. The unions are out of touch.
It's fascinating. You know, Vic Rizzo called today, and he said, tell the president, don't be taken back by Meany's rhetoric. He said, Meany is losing his people the more he talks. It's the same thing Sindlinger said yesterday, and Vic said, I've talked to one after another international vice presidents who are very, very disturbed that Meany is doing this. And he said he's losing his own people.
Does Rizal think I'm correct in not taking him on?
Absolutely. He says you should not rise to the bait, that what Meany wants you to do is take him on and escalate him and build him up as the great hero of the working man. And
I won't do it.
And I think at this time, eventually we may have to calculate it. But it's the kind of thing that...
Yeah.
We should pick our
time. When we do, we'll make a hell of an asset out of it.
That's right. But at the moment, he's hurting himself. And to the extent that we can let him hurt himself, it's better than if he gets a break from us.
Great.
One thing I failed to mention to you yesterday, and I wish I had. I just neglected it. It was on my list of things. I've been following the retail sales each week. And, you know, I've been mystified that they haven't
picked up.
The week ending September 25th.
Yeah.
They rose to 13% above the same week of a year ago.
Yep.
And we just got those. We just got them early this week.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been running at 7, 8, and 9, an average of 8, for year over year. But the very significant part of it, Passer was just ecstatic. He said, I just think it's the beginning of a breakthrough. He said, because department stores were up 19% over a year ago. Apparel stores up 19%.
So in other words, it isn't just autos.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said the only one that isn't up is furniture and appliances, and that's going to take off like a...
Well, with housing.
With housing, he said, we just know that one's going. And also, he said, with housing, of course, a lot of people buy directly from the builder, and you don't get that through the retail figures. But he was ecstatic.
Yeah.
He said, this is such a big jump for one week that it... It does indicate, now automobiles, of course, are up 37%, but he said that it really is a very important upturn. If it keeps on for 2 or 3 weeks, then you've really got something going.
When does the unemployment figure measure? They measured it as of the first week of October, did they? Is that the way they do that?
No, sir.
Their poll is taken for...
Mid-September.
That's really mid-September.
It's mid-September. It's like...
So we might have done unemployment. We may have moved up. I have a feeling some way that damn figure or something wrong with it.
Well, I do...
But nevertheless, I'm not concerned about where it is. If it just starts creeping down.
Well, that's what we need. And in a way, we start out with a high base of a projected workforce. You know, I think they've screwed us for 3 months running.
Yeah.
Or four. But that can benefit us because if the...
Do they have to compensate that? Won't they just leave it up there? They can inflate it and leave it there, can't they?
Well, they can, but if you don't keep inflating it, then your actual... You're going to gain on it because we're...
What about your point, Chuck, that the states, a lot of them really had a different deal. God damn it, I hope you get that across.
All over the country. I've sent it into the sent it into Hudson and said, please explain.
Mm-hmm.
And thus far, he's given me no good answers.
Yeah.
And,
you know, incidentally, speaking on the labor front, while I would much prefer to have had it settled, I think the fact I had to crack them on tap partly, a lot of people applaud, don't you think?
Oh, my golly. Absolutely.
Because they think I'm hitting their labor, you know.
Well, I think what's happened, Mr. President, I've been sitting... I haven't given you the latest Harris poll trial heats either. I'll give you those. I've been sitting the last few days trying to figure what it is that's so different right now than it was 3 months ago. I've just had a gut feeling we're rising, and the polls all show it. And I think what it is, it's the activism. It is the fact that there's a strike, and by God, you invoked Taft-Hartley. And
you're on the side of the people against things that people don't like, and very actively so. Taft Hartley is a perfect case in point.
Making a show out of it, yeah. Well,
you went out there to the West Coast, yeah. You stepped into it, you gave them a chance, gave them plenty of chance. They got nothing to complain about, and then you invoked Taft Hartley. The latest Harris Poll trial heats, you know, I gave you the approval,
yeah.
And he ran the trial heats over a different period of time, 19th to the 27th of September.
Mm-hmm.
These will be published in 3 weeks.
So he has a lead time on that, doesn't he?
Well, he does only because he's got a backlog of other
yeah.
columns, and they're all good for us. The two next week are sensational.
You don't care about that.
I read you the lead on one last night, and
yeah.
I didn't read you the lead on the other one. I should have, because it's even more... it's even more bullish. Find the damn thing, though. After 6 weeks of the Nixon administration's new economic policies, there are definite signs that the confidence of the American consumer is on the rise. By a substantial 53% to 23%, a majority of the American people now feel that the Nixon economic policies are doing more good than harm. Back in March, by 37% to 34%, the public felt the administration's economic measures were doing more harm than good. That's for next Thursday.
Good.
So that's a, you know, that's a hell of a bullish one.
Good. What is Teddy, what about on the Teddy thing, where you've got a good campaign to get that crawling thing way out?
That's been going every day. We had the CDs.
And mail to people, and, you know.
a very significant mailing went out that took the Humphrey statement, the Kennedy statement,
yeah.
and the VFW and a few others, and that's gone to editors, not by us, but... Dole sent it to some editors, which he could very properly do.
Incidentally, on this speech tonight, we had to put something in on profits. I tried to keep it out, but they all agreed they had to because of the Congress. You know, they'd piss on it. So, but I put it. I described it as windfall profits and said only a few. And so, if the market people squeal about it, they'll squeal about it. That's the way I feel about it.
Well, I think if we can get it explained properly, Mr. President, we've been having groups parading through here.
Excellent idea. And how do they like getting hear about it?
Well, they love the consultation being brought in. We will have had about 250 movers and shakers.
Who's doing them?
Stein, Weber, Schultz.
Well, they're all good.
And they are. And
really, this is, if you've got to have controls, a damn good one. We really looked it over carefully.
Well, I've read the material, and it isn't as tough as it might have been, thank goodness. I mean, there's enough leeway where you really have to rely.
Got to have the leeway because basically there's got to be some ways for flexibility or the labor people will blow it.
Well, not only that, but you'd get locked into too rigid a system, which I think would depress.
And you'd never get rid of it. Another thing. One thing I have in here, when we no longer need it, we're going to get rid of it.
Well, that's
putting in that straight statement.
Harris made the point this morning. He, in addition to this gradualism, he said you want to be sure that the public knows that the commitment to beat inflation remains just as tough as it was during the phase one. He said
that's in here.
He said that's what has you up in the polls. And he said that the people, as he put it, the people are just so much behind the president now. The attitudes polling, when you look through all the comments, you know, you ask people their comments, they're all comments like, well, we're supporting the president, we're behind the president, or we agree with the president, instead of a long negative series of comments that they got before. And
I've got something in this speech which I added just an hour ago. I mean, usually it's only speech will be only 14 minutes long,
good.
Which I think is an awfully good line.
Yes,
I quote from people all over the country. You know, I have four excellent letters, a paragraph in each, which is good. These are all people that had wage increases and had to give them up, and it's great to quote them. You know. Yeah. Now.
And to give credit to the people. It's...
Oh yes. Oh, I just say that. Yeah. Well, for example, here's what it is. After I read the letters, I said there, this is sort of about 5 minutes into the talk, I said, I want to thank the thousands of people who have written similar letters. I know how much it means to me to hear that most Americans have put their country's interest above their personal interest in fighting the battle against inflation. Now let's look at the future. And I take a little in planning ahead. I've consulted with the leaders of labor and so forth. They have been virtually unanimous in their belief that the fight must be here and made, fought here and now. They are together, their determination to win the battle. Consequently, and this is the key line, I am announcing tonight that when the 90-day freeze is over November 13th, we shall continue our program of wage and price restraint.
Excellent.
We began this battle against inflation for the purpose of winning it. We are going to stay in it until we do win it.
Excellent.
That's about it.
Well, that's precisely the point that Harris said today.
Do you think that hits it?
He said that it is that point that is causing all this public support. He thinks it's dramatic. And now we've had two good pollsters honestly confirm this. I have, by the way, gotten the message through Deutsch Chapin up to Gallup that we've seen a number of polls that show greatly increasing strength.
Worry Gallup if he's...
It's bound to make him...
He's going to have to hedge his bet a little if he's going to try to screw us on Kennedy.
Well, you know, when you look at these figures, Mr. President, when they're published, as Lou will do, all together, you're running on, 10 points, 12 points ahead of any Democrat today.
About eight above Kennedy.
45, But that is...
Quite a change.
That is... A hell of a change from last summer when it was nip and tuck.
With Muskie.
With Muskie and never able to catch up with him, really. It was always 2 points one way or the other. I think the...
And also the other thing, too, is in the Harris thing, frankly, and these things go up and down, but to go over 50%, even if it's only 51, 48, or something like that, and approval isn't bad.
It's tremendous. It's tremendous. And
well, I got to go over and brief the press. I mean, the Congress.
Bipartisan leaders.
Right.
Good luck tonight, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.